Welcome to Dementia in the House, navigating a loved one's dementia with solutions and support from experts and friends. I'm Catherine Nichols. Susan Disney-Lord was gracious enough to speak with me on a really personal level about losing her mother to Alzheimer's disease. She also talked about serving on the board for the past 10 years of Alzheimer's Los Angeles and the mission of that organization.
Still felt very much like her child and she was my mother. But really, I needed to view that relationship differently because I needed to start taking care of her. And she really did become my child in a sense at the end. I wish I'd understood that earlier because I had to take her car away early on. And taking your mother's car away, just imagine trying to do that. It's just, they're like, but no, no, there's nothing wrong with me. And, but I had to get the car away, and finagling that with her was one of the most challenging things I had to do. But that was the beginning of understanding the change in our relationship, the power balance change that was going to need to happen.
How long do you estimate she was suffering from Alzheimer's or sick in some way and struggling with this personally before anyone understood what was really going on?
I think she probably had signs of it 5 years earlier. And, you know, it comes on very slowly. But I believe that she was starting to get confused. She was starting to get lost. I think she must have been very afraid. A couple who've been married 50 years, they don't talk about it. They just cover for each other. It's a natural thing to do. And it seems like natural aging at first. Everybody gets a little more forgetful. But I think it was several years before she was actually diagnosed.
And then when she was diagnosed, until the time she died, that was about 6 years?
Yeah, it was 6 years, and in the end, she developed oral cancer, and it was such a big tumor going down her throat from her tongue. We didn't know about it until it was too late because she couldn't talk, and she couldn't tell us there was this big lump in her throat. And in the end, we decided to just not treat it.
And when she died, you talked about withholding food and water. Can you tell us about that experience? Because I think you had relayed to me that it was quite a beautiful experience, that the family came around and was with her. And a lot of people perceive choosing this end to be painful and difficult. What was your impression of that?
Well, making the decision to withhold both food and water was enormous. But once the decision had been made and agreed to by my siblings and I, she actually passed away really quickly, and we were all able to be there with her and around her, and we all watched her take her last breath, and it was a beautiful thing, and we got to ease her out of life as she eased us into life. It's kind of the circle of life.
People who have the perception that withholding food and water, it causes pain to the person experiencing it, can you disabuse us of that?
Withholding food causes pain. Dying of starvation is extremely painful and slow. Withholding water causes you to go into kidney failure and eases you into unconsciousness and then death. So that's the way to go.
Can you pick out one or two things that you wish you had known early on about dementia that you didn't know then?
I literally knew nothing about dementia and started going online to research it, but 10, 12 years ago, online was a different thing than it is now. There wasn't that much available. I literally knew nothing. All I knew about Alzheimer's at the time was that it was a bad thing. But in what way is it bad? I had no idea. And I certainly learned. People who die of dementia don't just start forgetting things. Their bodies start breaking down, and the body starts to forget to do things like swallow. It forgets how to talk. It forgets how to do most anything, and eventually that's what kills you. And many people do not understand that an Alzheimer's diagnosis is a fatal diagnosis. You're going to die of Alzheimer's disease. Most people, like we did, end up having the patient get some other kind of illness that they just choose not to treat. And they say they died of cancer, they say that they died of something else, but really it was the Alzheimer's. You didn't treat it because they had Alzheimer's.
What would you say to someone who came to you and said, oh my gosh, you know, my parent was just diagnosed. Where do I start? What do I do? And I'm not talking about specific resources at this moment. What's the one bit of advice that you could offer to someone who's heading down this really difficult journey?
Well, the first thing you have to do is learn about it. You've got to understand where it's heading. And then you really do have to be organized about it because you have to get their affairs in order. You have to make financial plans. for people who have minimal resources, you've got to figure out who's going to care for them. How are you going to pay for everything? And if there is any kind of assets in the estate, you have to have them sign off on them and give their healthcare directive to someone in particular, so that one person is designated to make the medical decisions and the legal decisions as well. You've got to get that done as soon as possible. I went on the board because my mother was ill and I wanted to do something to help. And I'm acutely aware of the fact that I have resources that most people don't have. So I was able to have a full-time caregiver. She stayed with my mom for the full 6 years that she was sick until the day she died, and forever grateful to her. But most people don't have access to that. And I do remember the feeling in the very beginning of being completely lost. What we do at Alzheimer's Greater Los Angeles is we have a helpline that's a local helpline. You can be connected with a care counselor to help you navigate the things that you need to get done. We also have enrichment activities, like we sponsor painting programs, you know, helping people through art, through music, those sorts of things kind of make life worth living a little bit, you know, for the caregivers and for the patients, enriching their lives.
Can you specify what kinds of support that, you know, is it emotional support? You're directing people to financial benefits that they might not be aware of. You are directing people to respite care. Can you specify some of the things that you offer?
Well, through our care counseling program, you're connected with someone who can direct you to resources that are available locally through the state and through the county that you may not be aware of, such as rental assistance, respite care, adult day health care, and other such things that it's hard to navigate the government, certainly, but anything locally, especially in the city like Los Angeles, where it's just vast labyrinth of things. And there's a lot of stuff that's available, and the care counselors can help you. But the other thing that they do is they help you in moments of emergency. You can call when the patient has, you know, gone and they're not using the bathroom. They can help you figure out how to deal with that particular situation. They're not eating. Whatever it is, they're difficult. They're not sleeping. They're roaming at night. They disappear. They can help you make sure that you have the emergency bracelet on so that if they do get lost, they'll be found, that sort of thing.
So back to the guidance with the county or state benefits. If I've had to quit my job or I've reduced my hours to stay home with a spouse or a parent who needs my care, and I can get rental assistance, will your organization help walk me through those forms and help me understand how to submit those? Is it that extensive?
Yes, that's what your care counselor will help you with.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about what you're doing and what your mission is and what kind of support you need for Alzheimer's Greater LA?
Well, we're always looking for more funding. There's never enough funding. The more funding we can find, the more people we can help. And that's our mission, is just help as many people as possible. There are over 500,000 people in the county of Los Angeles suffering with Alzheimer's disease, and it disproportionately affects women, the disease itself, but the caregiving also disproportionately affects women. And so we have very big awareness of that, and we're always trying to find more ways to help more people.
Thank you so much, Susan Disney Lord. The music on this podcast is used with permission from the artist. Making a Perfect Yesterday is written and performed by Jake Shimabukuro from his album, Dragon. Mahalo, Jake.